It is time for the Tuesday Book Club when we talk all things written word with 2SER's own master of the written word, Andrew Popel from Final Draft. A very good morning, Andrew.
Hey, morning, Nick. How are you?
Now, it's been quite a while. You've been away and on a very well-deserved break.
I know. It's been fun. I've been reading so much. I've got some really cool stuff. I'm actually really excited about the things that I'm going to be bringing for you over the next month or so.
I'm excited about this too, but I'm just excited right now because we're talking about A, one of my favourite authors, B, one of her best books, and something I recently reread a couple of weeks ago to get ready for the TV adaptation. We are, of course, talking...
Yeah, that's right. The Handmaid's Tale. I've been teasing that we're going to talk about The Handmaid's Tale, and having that time away meant, shock horror, I could read something other than the stupendous array of new books that I bring to listeners every Saturday morning on Final Draft, hashtag shameless plug. Now, of course, look, Margaret Atwood's The Handmaid's Tale, it chronicles the world of Gilead, a part of the former United States, now seemingly in a state, I note, of total war and totalitarian control. And Ofred is a handmaid, one of a select class of women chosen for their breeding potential. After the world is left barren and new birth rates are rare and fraught with risk. So, in presenting this stratified society where women are defined by roles, so we have wives, Marthas who do sort of domestic type chores, handmaids are there just exclusively as kind of baby incubators. And then we have unwomen who are never really explored. We get the sense that they're just on the fringes. The book really highlights male privilege and this sexist negation of anything that deviates from a really tightly prescribed norm. You're really looking at just this heavily censored, heavily circumscribed society, and as well as the risks of abdicating those personal freedoms for what is being peddled as safety. So The Handmaid's Tale has been garnering a lot of renewed interest of late. Of course, there is, you mentioned, the serialization of the book that recently arrived in Australia via SBS. It's also a curious and frightening possibility that Atwood is, in fact, a Nostradamus-like seer she's predicting our horrible future in this dystopian masterpiece. It may be the rueful quote in Chapter 28 where Ofred describes how society came to such a pass. They blamed it on the Islamic fanatics at the time. Her knowing acknowledgement tells us that we're all being hoodwinked when we buy into populist paranoia. Even Ofred doesn't believe it. It may also be the fact that Ofred's fate and that of the great estate of Gilead reflect an unparalleled rise in sexist control and the end goal of male privilege. And of course, there was that photo of Donald Trump with an all-male cabinet signing documents impacting the reproductive rights of women. Just really horrid stuff, and we can see the end point in the world that Margaret Atwood creates. Through Ofred, Atwood offers up a horror world of peace through conservative totalitarian control. Juxtaposed against Ofred's past, we keep getting glimpses of her past, which is really like our present, or at least the present of the 1980s. We can clearly see that despite the threat of outsiders and the fear of collapse, this world contains no joy for any of its inhabitants. Atwood weaves this world with a mastery of language, and most importantly, I found, restraint. We move fluidly between Ofred's life as a handmaid and the series of events that brought the world to this point. And there's a joy and a frustration that comes in trying to be a clever reader with Margaret Atwood. I know a thing or two about stories, so I kept finding myself thinking, I know where this is going. And Atwood teases this, having Ofred muse that it all may be a story, leading us to believe that we may be able to predict the hero narrative or riff on some other dystopian dream. I felt I knew the story. I fell into the trap of comparing this with Orwell's 1984, but that's just because there are few and fairly unimaginative ways that totalitarians will try and take control of our minds. Hint, keep an eye on your press freedoms and your right to free speech, and that's free speech, not hate speech, because Atwood gives us that world and then invites us to live in it. The reality of Gilead is startling, close, and frighteningly real. It's a timely reminder that the next time someone tells you that the fight against sexist, racist, classist, homophobic discrimination liberates us all, listen to them. Atwood shows us a world where variety is flattened, and even the winners don't seem to be having any fun.
I had the luxury of reading it when it was less than a decade old. I think I read it about 8 years after it had come out when I was still at university. And what blew my mind then was it seemed so far-fetched. It really did. And rereading it just a couple of weeks ago, I'm like, wow, this does not feel as bizarre as it did on a first read.
Yeah, I was aware of the book, and I remember the film that was made in the 90s garnered a whole lot of...
Is that Miranda Richardson, Jolie Richardson? It was a Richardson in it, I'm sure.
I know that Cora from Downton Abbey played Moira, and it was hugely controversial, but it was controversial for its depictions of sex and sexuality and those sorts of things. But nobody was entertaining the idea that this was a world that could actually happen. I mean, I think that's what's really beautiful of the way Margaret Atwood draws a dystopia. I mean, it would be easy to imagine a future horror world where, you know, penguins develop opposable thumbs and turn the guns on us. But that doesn't feel real. That doesn't feel close. This feels close.
All of her dystopians are human-wrought every single time, and I think that's really fascinating. And quite often, you know, they're very simple. They're not great upheavals in the way we understand them. It's not a nuclear war. It's not this. It's not that. It's just hubris.
Probably one of the most horrifying chapters in this book is where Offred describes how society, freedom was gradually taken away from society. There was no massive event. They're told that something was happening, but we get the sense that nobody quite believes that what they're being told is real, but it was these simple removals of control and freedom taken over by the government, and it happened so gradually that when they were subjugated, they barely knew it had happened, and Offred couldn't run. There's a great scene where she's trying to escape, and it's just... there is no freedom left. She can't go anywhere.
I think what also interests me is that Offred is talking about things that have happened not just in her lifetime, but in the last few years. Mm. We're not coming in to a world that is wildly unfamiliar because it's been that way for generations. Mm. We're talking about change that occurred in just a really short time.
Yeah, it's remarkable. It's close. I mean, even just simple things. Where does Offred try to escape? To Canada. We don't know that Justin Trudeau's in power, but we get the sense that Canada still is that little beacon of hope in North America.
Now, I think next week the plan is we want to have a chat about the adaptation.
Oh, yeah. Look, the adaptation. I've been purposefully avoiding mention of the serialization that's out. Starring Elizabeth Moss. It's streaming right now. I've been watching it. So next week I want to wade into the bloodied waters of postmodern intertextuality and look at how that series holds up. So look, Nick, I've got a whole week to come up with something more than the book was better. So wish me luck. I'm not saying it was. From what I've seen so far, it does some really interesting things, and I want to examine that. I want to, you know, maybe look at how we can see this narrative now.
I'm very excited to talk about it. I love good adaptations, and I'll tell you what, I'm such a Margaret Atwood fanboy. I'm just excited that anyone is talking about her again, because her body of work deserves to be lovingly reread or read for the first time by anybody.
Get out there and do it.
Get out there and do it. All right, so next week we're going to talk Handmaid's Tale adaptation. Andrew Popel, thank you very much.
Thanks, Nick. Bye.